Titus chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. The reason I left you in Crete was that you might straighten out what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. An elder must be blameless, the husband of but one wife, a man whose children believe and are not open to the charge of being wild and disobedient. Since an overseer is entrusted with God's work, he must be blameless, not overbearing, not quick-tempered, not given to drunkenness, not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Rather, he must be hospitable, one who loves what is good, who is self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. For there are many rebellious people, mere talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision group. They must be silenced because they are running whole households by teaching things they ought not to teach, and that for the sake of dishonest gain. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Friends, know this: Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he has come to rescue us from every darkness. Every darkness. Last time I mentioned that the elders here at Daleville Christian Church met with the elders at Pendleton Christian Church. And it was in that meeting that led me to preach on today's topic, the topic of an elder-led congregation. I have not preached on it. It is in the Bible. The Pendleton elders mentioned that the message in the sermon is for teaching purposes, and that is when the Lord spoke to me. This is important. Preach and teach on it. Today we talk about the eldership, not the present eldership, biblical eldership. We're not going to talk about qualifications, we're going to talk about design. What does the Bible outline? What happened to that biblical design? I would focus first on one phrase in the Bible, and that is the phrase, appoint elders. This phrase occurs in two places, Acts chapter 14 and what we heard read just a moment ago, Titus chapter 1. In Acts chapter 14, it reports, Paul and Barnabas appointed elders in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord in whom they had put their trust. And then today's passage, chapter 1 of Titus, verse 5, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. It was a part of Paul's work, the Apostle Paul's work, to find elders, put them in place for the church. And the Apostle also directed Titus to do the very same thing. And in Titus, he even states that this is the very reason that Titus was still in the island of Crete, to finish what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town. Then we know that there were elders in the church because the apostle writes to the elders in the churches. By the way, there are over 190 references to elders in the Bible. Most refer to the elders of Israel. It is usual for the church to utilize terms and structures, even some practices from Jewish tradition. However, in every case, the Christian use of those terms, or the use of the structures, or even the practices, are unique in Christianity. Everything is new in Jesus Christ, even some of the things that we received from the children of Israel. Peter's letter particularly addresses to the elders among you, since the letter is written to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, those towns we don't like to try and pronounce in the Bible. First verse of the first chapter of the letter called 1 Peter. And then addressing all of those believers, chapter 5 is addressed to the elders among all those churches. So we know the apostles wanted elders in the churches. We know that the churches did indeed have elders in those churches. There were even elders in the churches in the city of Jerusalem, where for a while several of the apostles lived and served. One more thing. Paul wanted elders. The other apostles in Jerusalem wanted elders. Did you know that Jesus Christ himself wanted the church to have elders? The apostle writes in Ephesians chapter 4, isn't that why Jesus gave pastors and prophets and teachers and more? Yes, it is. Ephesians 4:11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, shepherds, and teachers, those would be elders too, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. So that the body of Christ, the church, may be built up. The purpose of having elders is for the good of God's people in the church. It's supposed to be a blessing, a gift. And he goes on to say, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And you can say, fair enough, Pastor. We all get that there were elders in the churches, but what did those elders do? An excellent question. Let's look at that next. Well, the elders were shepherds, first of all. That is, they were pastors. The noun pastor or shepherd only occurs once in the New Testament in reference to the leaders of the church. Just read that, Ephesians 4:11. But the verb to shepherd, shepherding, occurs several times. It occurs in verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 5, shepherd the flock of God. As he's addressing the elders among you, shepherd the flock of God. Jesus uses it when he says to Peter, shepherd my sheep, in John chapter 21, the Gospel of John. And Paul uses it when he says to the Ephesian elders, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So elders were the shepherds of the flock, the pastors. This is just another word for shepherd. Well, second of all, the elder shepherds are charged with oversight. Again, in Peter, Peter says to the elders, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight. Oversight's not the only duty of shepherding, but it's the one Peter mentions here in the situation. It's made up of two words in Greek, just like it is in English, over and sight. Elder shepherds exercise oversight. They are overseers, as Paul says in 1 Timothy 3. They look out over the flock. God holds them accountable for seeing the big picture and acting for the good of the whole flock. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. So the elders are supposed to direct the affairs of the church, but that's not all it says. The elders who direct the affairs of the church well are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. King James Version says the elders who rule will be counted worthy of double honor. Kind of a loaded word there, but that's what it says. Now, another scholar who did his own translation, I will quote to you, and we know that his work is worthwhile because for a few years he taught at Indiana University, Bloomington, where I got my degree, so his expertise is highly regarded. His translation says, elders who govern well should be considered worthy. Remember I mentioned that Jesus wanted the church to have elders? And isn't that why Jesus gave pastors and prophets and teachers and more? Yes, it is. So Christ himself, reading in Ephesians 4 here, verse 11, so Christ himself gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, the pastors and teachers, to equip the people for works of good service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Jesus' love for his church is shown in having elders, calling elders, having elders in place. Notice that in that letter of Ephesians, it isn't so much that the office of elders emphasized, rather it's what elders do that is stressed. Remember, the word pastor appears but once, but shepherding is a word that occurs many times. The elders do the shepherding. What does an elder oversee? What does an elder do? An elder oversees people. An elder shepherds people. In more than one place in the New Testament, it's directed that elders are a necessary office in the church. Perhaps if we look at what the elders are directed to do, we can better understand what it is elders are supposed to do in the church of Jesus Christ, and we can better understand what the elders are supposed to do for the church of Jesus Christ. The elders are directed to take care of God's church, 1 Timothy. All of these notations are in the notes you'll find here on the website. Later in the same letter, it says, direct the affairs of the church well. Take care, it says. Direct. Remember, in the ancient church, there were no books, not even a Bible. Pieces or parts of the Bible is all they had available to them, if they had that. The memories of the apostles, they had that available to them. Maybe there were more, one or two of the apostles left of the original 12, but they lived in another city. The church in that time had no manuals, no textbooks, so the elders served as the church's textbook and manual. Peter's book tells the elders, be examples to the flock, encourage others by sound doctrine, and refute those who oppose it. Encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. This is what the elders here at Daleville Christian did a year ago when they fought to keep the biblical standard that the Indiana region had already established. And then the Indiana region abandoned that biblical standard. Today we'll look again and more deeply at this charge to the church's elders long ago to encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. Because long ago things got ugly for the Church of Jesus Christ. Now Darren Patrick in his book, Church Planter, he writes, the New Testament allows a lot of flexibility with regard to exactly how elders are to function in the church. We're told to have elders, but we're not told everything about elders. The pattern for leadership that the New Testament has set, however, is a plurality of elders, more than one. And the references are there in the notes for you. Elders serve as the lead overseers of the church, teach and preach the word, protect the church from false teachers, exhort and admonish the saints. That's you believers. Admonish the saints in sound doctrine, pray for the sick, and judge doctrinal issues. Elders must be those who can pastor themselves as well as others. There are additional instructions for elders, again from 1 Peter. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elder, witness of the sufferings of Christ, shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but providing to be examples to the flock, and when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Now, you might not be asking a question that should be asked. What happened to those elders who were supposed to be serving the churches in the ancient church? Well, serving the church, leading the church, was not an easy task. Paul's letters demonstrate this. Paul had a tough time with almost every church he planted or watered. Sometimes the church members didn't understand some of the teaching. Sometimes church members didn't understand what new life in Christ meant. They didn't know how to behave. They didn't know how to live their lives. Sometimes even the leaders themselves wound up in trouble. We even know some of these church leaders' names. 1 Timothy chapter 1 says, as I urged you when I went to Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's word, which is by faith. Goes on to say, Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight. Holding on to faith and a good conscience, some have rejected these. And so have shipwrecked their faith. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I've handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. 2 Timothy mentions another Alexander. Alexander the metalworker did me a great deal of harm. The Lord will repay him for what he's done. You too should be on your guard against him because he strongly opposed our message. Friends, these aren't people outside the church. These are people inside the church. Hymenaeus and Alexander were teachers, probably elders. So is Alexander the metal worker. 2 Timothy goes on to say, do your best to come quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. 2 Timothy, again, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. These are leaders, teachers, probably elders, because they were teaching. They were teaching wrong things. They'd wandered away from the truth. John wrote, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us, so if I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Again, a leader of the church gone terribly wrong. It happened. It's still happening. Their names we see in the news almost every week. So notice right there in the churches of the apostles, elders gone wrong. There are other examples, too many. 1 Timothy 1, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain people not to teach false doctrines any longer. 2 Peter says, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord. Who bought them? Bringing swift destruction on themselves. Jesus even predicted there would be false prophets and false messiahs. But notice something else. Despite all the potential for things to go wrong with the elders and the eldership, the church and the apostles never gave up the design of having elders rule and govern and shepherd the church of Jesus Christ. And I'm only mentioning the problems within the church that the elders had to deal with. It was their responsibility to deal with those who were teaching false teachings, wrong teachings, and wandering from the truth. But in addition to problems within the church also suffered persecutions, and the elders had to deal with those persecutions. I have a list. Persecutions that took place against the early church for over 300 years. The persecutions finally stopped in the Roman Empire when the emperor himself was converted to Christianity in the year 325, the Emperor Constantine. Now, the persecution of Christians didn't last for 300 years. In that time span, there were 54 Roman emperors who came and went. A dozen of them officially persecuted the Christians. What we don't know is how many local persecutions there may have been, but we do know of official persecution from the Roman government when Christians were arrested, imprisoned, tortured, and killed for nothing more than their belief in Jesus Christ. Someone has calculated that altogether in that 300 years, the church suffered persecution for 120 years. We believe that Peter and Paul died under the persecution of the Emperor Nero. In one emperor's reign, Christians were discovered by requiring sacrifice to the emperor, and when that person didn't sacrifice the emperor, they go, well, there's a Christian. Get him. In another persecution, the church was required to hand over its Bibles. For 120 years of the church's history, the elders led their churches through persecution. The leaders suffered then just as they do now, imprisonment and torture. They don't happen here in the United States, but they happen today in other churches in the world. Maybe you believe that can't happen here. Some of us are not so confident. Jesus knew, the Bible knew, there would be persecution, and the church structure in place to deal with that persecution was an elder-led church. Are there problems with an elder-led church? The church already has your number on that. The answer is yes. The Church of the Apostles knew there were grave potential problems with an elder-led church. The apostle knew the ways that things could go wrong with the eldership. The apostle writes, 1 Peter 5, "To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the crown of glory that will never fade away." So he mentions three things right off the bat that could go wrong: wrong motivation, double-mindedness, a desire to exploit the position of elder. Now, some people are on a power trip, just love to boss people around. These are all potential problems that the apostles knew before things even got started. The apostle knew the dangers, but the apostle didn't say not to do it because of the dangers. We read it today. "Appoint elders in the towns as I directed you. This is the reason I left you there." Amen.